While it began in October, flu season has arrived in earnest this month with a vengeance. The Centers for Disease Control report that flu is now widespread in 46 states. In New York State, health officials say the flu vaccine is still available, but there may be some localized shortages because of late season demand. The New York State Department of Health tells the Associated Press it's received reports of 2,884 patients hospitalized with confirmed influenza by early this month. So far this season, more than 19,000 cases of influenza have been reported in New York, compared with some 4,400 positive lab tests reported in the 2011 and 12 season. And we are very lucky and grateful to the New York State Health Department, because Dr. Gus Burkhead is here. He is the head, the director of the Office of Public Health in the Health Department. And Dr. Burkhead, thank you so much for being with us. What's the latest from the front?
Well, we just issued a report today updating the statistics through last week. We remain at widespread flu across the state, and we're now 8 or 9 weeks of widespread flu across the state. Our hospitalization total went up by about 1,200 new hospitalizations last week. We're higher now than we were during the H1N1 pandemic of 2009. Wow. So we've crossed a milestone this year as well. And the number of positive lab tests from laboratories is up close to 24,000. That is just the tip of the iceberg. Many more people are ill and don't seek a lab test or have a lab test done if they go to the doctor. So we're continuing at a brisk clip. This is the worst influenza season we've had probably in at least a decade.
Wow.
The hospitalization total, I think, is what is most concerning. We count deaths in children. Unfortunately, we've had 3 children die of flu this year. We don't track adults normally, but based on CDC estimates, in an average year, we might expect 1,400 deaths total in the state, and this year looks like it's going to exceed that.
Do we have any idea why this year of all years?
Well, the one thing about flu is that it's unpredictable. The one thing you can say for sure is that it's unpredictable. And last year, we had a very mild season, almost not at all. And then this year, it's back with a vengeance. I think each year, what happens is the flu viruses out there change or may change. If they change enough or other circumstances are just right, and I don't know what those all are, but certainly in the winter months, we see more flu. You can get a bad year, an epidemic year, and we certainly are having an epidemic year this year.
Now, are people who got flu shots at risk themselves, number one? And number two, is there still flu vaccine? And number three, is it make sense to go get a flu shot if you can?
Well, first, to answer your last question first, it's never too late. And if you can get a flu shot before you get exposed to the flu, that's the purpose of that. So not too late at all. The vaccine has been looked at each year, and flu is interesting because the flu virus changes each year, we need to make a new vaccine each year. CDC has done some studies this year. They came out with a figure that this year's vaccine is about 62% effective. So that's not perfect, but it's also better than nothing. So we do recommend people go get it. Now, about the supply of vaccine, we are late in the season. Most flu campaigns happen during the fall months, October, November, sort of peak. That's when your doctor's office will have it stocked, and where there may be community clinics going on and other things like that. So we're definitely past that peak, and some physicians and others may have stopped their annual campaigns. But I was at my doctor's office yesterday and asked, and they last week ordered some more vaccine and got it and had it. I had had my flu shot in the fall, but I think the vaccine is still out there. You know, each year in this country, we waste tens of millions of doses of flu vaccine. So the challenge is to get the vaccine and get it accessible to people in a variety of settings. And at this point, most of the distributors have sent it all out into the system. And one of the things we're trying to do is find out if there are places out there with excess vaccine that they don't think they will use and get that to places where it can be used.
Now, in my town, out of your jurisdiction in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, all the major drugstores have big signs, get your flu shot here. Is that flu vaccine just as good as what you might get in a doctor's office?
It's all the same flu vaccine. We have about 5 manufacturers that make all the licensed flu vaccine in this country, and yes, it's all the same stuff.
So if you get the flu, what do you want us to do?
if you get the flu.
Yes.
If you're sick, and by the way, this time of year there are lots of cold viruses and other things circulating. So just because you had the flu shot and get some symptoms of a cold doesn't mean the vaccine didn't work.
Sure.
The only way to tell if you have influenza is to go and get a test at your doctor's office. So if you are ill, we recommend in general to stay home from work to avoid spreading it to your coworkers. That goes sort of at any time of the year, not just now. But yeah, flu is contagious from person to person through close contact. And if you think you have the flu, definitely stay home for a few days. And you'll probably feel like you want to stay home as well.
Yeah. Okay, we have some time to get onto the phone. 1-800-348-2551. If you've got a question for Dr. Burkhead, this is the time to ask. He's the head guy. He knows more than anybody else. And that's it. Let's go to David in New Paltz. Okay, David, you're on.
Hello, doctors. How are you today? I'd like to make a comment. I've been a yoga practitioner for years, and I had a guru from the from India who has a remedy for curing not only the flu, but cancer and other diseases, AIDS and Alzheimer's and the like, by using what he calls the golden elixir. And basically what it is the first 2 ounces or shot glass of your urine in the morning is enough to give you enough immunity from the dead cells that are being attacked in your body to create your own natural vaccine.
Okay, let's stop right there. Let's ask the doctor for his opinion on this.
Well, I may learn something new on this show today. I've not heard of that. I would say in general, do things, if you think things work for you, fine. I'm a little dubious of that one, but I would also say I wouldn't substitute that for getting a flu shot, because from my point of view, the main thing you can do to prevent flu is to get a flu shot.
David, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Charlene in East Hampton, Massachusetts. Okay, Charlene, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just have a really quick question comment. I heard on the national news the other night that flu germs or flu bacteria don't like moist air, so you should humidify your interior and possibly crack your windows open a little bit, especially at night in this kind of weather when it's so moist outside. Is that true?
I think the dry air certainly can dry out your nasal lining, and that might predispose you to get flu. And yes, there probably is some information that flu viruses can stay suspended longer in dry air. But don't freeze yourself out. I think a little humidity helps just in general to keep your membranes moist in the winter and not develop colds.
They said something about it. Yeah. It causes the flu germs to sink faster to the floor.
Well, or to stick to other things. Yeah, if it's moist, that may be the case.
So do you have it, Charlene?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, and we'll go to Scott in Slingerland's. Okay, Scott, you're on.
Hi, I have 2 children, and we all came down about 2 weeks ago with what I believe was the flu. We all recovered from it, but I'm thinking, is there enough season, and is it possible that we will get reinfected, that it's now advisable either for myself and my children to get the vaccine now?
Yeah, very good question. I think the current vaccine that we are using contains protection actually against 3 different strains of flu, and this is typically what we do. In fact, in the future, we may increase it to 4 strains. So if you did indeed have the flu, and I would just comment, unless you went to a doctor and got a swab and a test for flu, you don't know for sure that it was flu. It may well have been, but
we don't know for sure.
But even if it was one of the strains of flu, and right now the strain that's circulating most is what has the name of H3N2. That strain is circulating now, but later in the year we may switch over to influenza B or to H1N1. The current version of the flu virus that came in the pandemic a few years ago is still around. So you should get the flu shot to protect yourself from another round of flu later in the year.
Great. And the kids.
Yes, by all means.
Great.
Scott, thanks.
Thank you.
Great call. Very important. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Okay. We're going to take a brief 7 or 8 second break, and we will be right back. So hang in there. 1-800-348-2551. I need to have you call so we can answer everybody's questions.
Support for WAMC comes from St. George's School, Clifton Park, New York, hosting an open house on Saturday, February 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for their all-day pre-K and after-school enrichment program, stgeorgecp.org. Weewaka, Lake George, New York, an enrichment and revitalization historic lakefront retreat created by and for women since 1903. WIAWAKA.org for events. And Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment. Berkshire.coop.
We are back now. All the phones are ringing. Well, maybe one isn't. No, they all are. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Gus Burkhead, the director of the Office of Public Health of the New York State Health Department, and we have the guy here. So, if you got a question, this is the time to ask it. Colin in Southwick, Massachusetts. Okay, Colin, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Hello, Dr. Burkhead. How are you?
Hi. Good.
This is actually a follow-up to Scott's question a second ago. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 10-month-old. Oof. And we all received our vaccine, say, back in October-ish. And it was my understanding that the new vaccine now covers another strain. That's probably a follow-up to his question. I didn't hear it. But my first question really is, can a young child, for instance, my 10-year-old, received 2 vaccines in 1 year?
So the recommendation is for young kids below age 9, when they are in the first year that they're getting their flu vaccine, actually is to get 2 doses a month apart. So your 10-month-old, this certainly must have been the first year that they were vaccinated.
Yes,
so yes, so they should be getting a second. And then if your 2-year-old, if this is the first year for them to be getting flu vaccine, they should also be getting a second dose. In general, though, for adults and older children, a second dose isn't needed. The vaccine you got last October is the same one that is still around. That hasn't changed. And the immunity you get from that should last at least for a year or two. So there's no need in the middle of the flu season to get another shot unless you're in this young age group and it is the first year that you got vaccinated.
Let me jump on this if I can, Colin. Can anybody put themselves at risk for getting the flu from the flu shot?
Well, that's a very common misperception, and when you ask people why they don't get the flu shot, many will say, "Oh, but it's because I got it and it gave me the flu once." But the flu shot does not give you the flu. Actually, there are 2 different types of flu vaccine. We haven't discussed this yet. The injectable type is just the antigen from the virus. It's not the whole virus. There is a nasal spray version, which is a disabled flu virus, but even that does not cause influenza. So people may have gotten a shot or the nasal spray and then subsequently developed symptoms of a cold or something else, or maybe they were incubating flu already, and
sure.
and the vaccine takes a couple of weeks before it actually works to provide protection.
Sure.
That's
gotcha.
Definitely.
Well, Alan, quick comment if
sure.
I make that.
Of course.
My entire family, we take a pretty strong regimen of zinc, and I know that might be a whole other topic, but I do find that it works. In terms of duration of just the common cold. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Colin. Appreciate it. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. That leaves one free phone up. Joining us now is our producer and bon vivant, the guy who will read you the truth from Patrick Donges. Okay, Patrick, take it away.
I don't know if it's the truth. It's what we've got on the internet. okay, our social media presence.
Well, then it's not the truth.
Patrick on WAMC.org wrote, I'm not anti-vaccine, but I am wary because the vaccines are said to be incubated using eggs and sometimes caterpillars, and that cow or horse blood is sometimes used in vaccines. Didn't we learn anything from the polio vaccine deployed up until the early 60s where kidneys from monkeys were used for incubating the virus? But some of the primates carried their own viruses that caused cancer and turned out to be able to cause cancer in humans. As a result, I don't want to touch a vaccine that contains animal products.
Doctor?
Okay, so that's a lot of sort of misinformation, I think, all in one piece.
Okay.
The flu vaccines are grown in eggs. If you go look at the facilities where they're grown, it's done under very highly sterile conditions. Yes, the vaccines have to be processed in the multi-dose vials of the vaccine. There is a preservative to prevent bacteria from growing if you're entering the vial multiple times. We could get into the other vaccine topics if you want. There are sometimes animal products are used in producing vaccines, although I think increasingly vaccines are more genetically engineered these days. The issues in the past with polio vaccine have been shown not to be a problem. Or didn't occur. So that was a speculation possibility.
Okay.
But in general, our vaccines today are very safe. They may contain small amounts of preservatives or other products, which do not cause harm to the body.
Okay.
Okay, Patrick, read on.
We've got three more short ones. Jason on Facebook writes, I wash my hands and I try not to touch any part of my face after shaking hands. This has worked well in warding off the flu and reinforcing antisocial personality traits. Caitlin on Facebook says, won't get the shot, will wash hands and not touch my face. And Ellen on Facebook says, I thought I had the flu Friday, but it cleared up after 24 hours. Not sure what it was.
Yeah.
Not
well,
sure.
Certainly hand washing is an important part of trying to prevent the flu. Flu is transmitted when you cough with the droplets that come, are expelled. And if you're in close contact or in a crowded areas, you can pick up flu directly from people that way. So just washing your hands is not the only answer. And it's hard to be meticulous, I think, about that and never touch your face, always wash your hands and avoid crowds. I guess if you stayed home all flu season, you wouldn't get the flu but you also wouldn't be interacting with anyone. So in human interactions, flu gets transmitted, and it's obviously very efficiently transmitted that way because we see these explosive outbreaks that happen. So again, I think we're back to the vaccine being the one thing you can do which will protect you throughout the season, whether
sure.
or not you're washing your hands.
And doctor, not only you but everybody around you. So do you think
right.
people who don't get the shot are selfish?
No, it's obviously that vaccines are an issue that people need to decide whether they're going to do it or not. But you do potentially present a risk to your family, for example,
if you're out there,
or your colleagues if you're out there. So
your lover, if you're.
I think people need to understand. We live in a society where we look out for each other, and sometimes taking care of yourself can also be the thing that helps you look out for others as well.
Thank you very much on that. And thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Alan.
You're
you
always
doctor.
Welcome here. Okay, let's go to John in Albany. John in Albany. John in Albany.
Hi. How are you?
Well, we're good.
I had a question for the doctor. My wife and I actually, well, before I get to my question, we use these therapeutic-grade essential oils, and we've been using them for over 3 years now. And since using these, we haven't been sick with either a cold, flu, or anything like that. And we've actually introduced this to an assisted living facility, which they've actually had many benefits from. Actually, the resident physician is very excited about all the results that he's getting and actually getting many of the residents off psychotropic medications. The concern I have with vaccinations is many of the byproducts that go into vaccinations. Specifically for children, I see that there's a very high rate of autism now that we've been heavily vaccinating. So my question for the doctor is, where is most of this research coming from? Is this coming from the pharmaceutical industries, or are there third-party industries or companies that are doing this research?
Okay, John, let's let the doctor have a chance.
So you're saying the research that demonstrates that vaccines are safe, where is that coming from? And that's coming from a whole variety of sources, not just funded by the pharmaceutical industry, some funded by the federal government, others in academia and other places. So I think the questions, and I know that this is a question out there in people's mind, they've heard, autism, vaccines may be causing a problem. I think it's one of the more thoroughly studied issues that I can think of in medicine these days, and it's been looked at not only in this country but in other countries. And I think we basically demonstrated pretty clearly that the vaccines are not related to, do not cause autism. Now, it just happens you are giving a lot of vaccinations to young kids at a time when they develop autism, when autism develops, if it's going to develop in those kids. And people sort of, it's understandable that they put two and two together and think, ah, there must be a cause and effect here. But it just so happens that we're giving the vaccines at an early age to provide immunity, to protect that child throughout the course of their life. And it's happening at a time when if autism is going to happen, as I say, it's coming out. So it's really, I think, been pretty well demonstrated to be coincidental. And it's not just funded studies by the pharmaceutical industry.
John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Denise in Pittsfield. Denise, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I was wondering what both of you thought about hot peppers. And do they help
for
us?
For food? Hot peppers in your food?
Yeah, like habaneros, jalapenos. Do they help us at all to stay healthy? What do you think about that? Do you have any feelings about
actually,
that?
Actually, I'm not one for spicy food myself, but seriously, I don't think there's really any evidence that I'm aware of that one way or the other on that. I don't know that it's really been studied in a way that we could make an official public health recommendation on it. So I think
okay.
It's not really. If you think it works for you, great.
Right.
Again,
right.
I wouldn't do that to the exclusion of other things where we've done the studies to show that flu vaccine, for example, does help prevent the flu. I wouldn't just do hot peppers and not do the vaccine. But sure, if you
I work at an elementary school, so I definitely get the shot every year. What do they put in Coldies? What's that ingredient that's supposed to be magical?
Not sure. We have to look. Coldies is an over the counter medication.
Coldies.
Yeah.
I thought it was Coldies, but no, it's Coldies.
Not sure.
Well, thank you for a wonderful program. I'm going to keep listening.
Thank you very much, Denise.
Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Roz in Canton, Connecticut. Okay, Roz, you're on.
Hi. I guess I'm asking one of a number of questions that I've heard asked, which is about natural remedies. I actually have been using oscillococcinum, which is a homeopathic, for, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. And I haven't had the flu that entire time. It has had double-blind studies with it. It's not sort of just some random thing you pick up at the health food store, and it's used all over Europe. And I was wondering if the doctor is aware of those kinds of things, because what I find is that the downside of it is you have to take it the minute that you feel like it's a flu. So I have to carry it with me. And I don't take it if it feels like just a cold, but if I start feeling that real flu-y, that achy, I'm just about to die thing, then I take it, and I really have found that it just clears right up. And given the fact that it has these double-blind studies, I'm a little more confident about that. And then the other one someone told me about recently that I haven't tried is elderberry syrup. So I was just wondering if the medical establishment is aware of these and if there's opinions about either one of them. And I'll take the answer off the air. Thing.
Right. We'll just stay there for a second. Go ahead.
Right. So, I mean, I'm open to making recommendations based on evidence that we can look at. I'm not familiar with the controlled trials that you're talking about, but certainly, I would be in favor of anything that's demonstrated to work, and our process in medicine to do that is to put it through the medical peer review medical literature process. So I'm not discounting it. I think if you think it works for you, definitely do it. I wouldn't do it to the exclusion of other measures like vaccination that we know from trials works. But I'm not discounting what you're saying. I just am not familiar with that particular one.
Okay. Roz, thanks for
you.
The call. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to Suzanne in Dutchess County. Okay,
hi.
Suzanne.
I had heard, maybe you addressed this earlier, but that the elderly population was not getting a full benefit from the flu shot, that it wasn't as effective and it seemed funny to me because that was always one of the first populations that was suggested be protected. And I read that maybe they're going to strengthen the vaccine for the elderly. And
right.
So whether that's true or not, and what about that? And then something else I wondered about whether if you're not like around people that are immune compromised and you're not in a situation that's like a high, high, you know, danger thing, wouldn't it be good for your children? I mean, no one wants their kid to get the flu, and my goodness, suppose they died or, you know, but isn't it good in general for people to develop an immunity to different kinds of things? So like if you have healthy children, say between the age of 6 and 12, and you don't have, like, you know, somebody who's sick at home, and you don't work in a nursing, you know, you limit, those things are limited. Isn't it sort of better for them to have gotten the flu?
That's an old wives' tale. It's a good question. Let's go to the doctor.
So for flu specifically, the trouble with that is that the flu virus changes every year. So you can get flu this year, and again, multiple strains circulate, so you may not be exposed to all of them. But then next year, it's a different virus. So the immunity, quote, that you develop really from getting the flu is not protecting you long term. But even, and this, I've heard this argument with other vaccines as well, you know, measles vaccine, why not just let's get the measles and get it over with? But the problem with that is on a population level, kids die and develop mental retardation as a result of measles, and we are trying to eliminate that problem. So vaccine is really, really the way to go there. You asked about flu in older people, and yes, we have in the past focused on older people because flu has the most side effects and causes the highest mortality there. And also, unfortunately, the vaccine is not as effective there because older folks have immune systems that aren't as responsive. So you're absolutely correct that one of the manufacturers has developed a higher dose flu vaccine that's available this year.
I took it.
Right. You could ask your doctor about that. And the studies do show that that produces a better immunity. So we may be moving towards a more affirmative recommendation. This year it's permissible to use it in elderly, but we'll see how it works. But in theory, that should help to address this problem that older folks don't respond as well to vaccines in general.
Thanks, Suzanne. Ooh. Well, let's go to, that leaves up one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jamie in Wurzburgo. Okay, Jamie, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question. This weekend I had brought my young daughter to Crystal Run Healthcare out in this part of the county, and I signed in, and there were maybe about 5 or 6 doctors there, and none of them said they can legally offer a flu vaccine for my daughter. And I was wondering if that was true. They said I had to set up an appointment and only a pediatrician can do it. And they said they had the vaccine. And I went to the drugstore myself and got a vaccine, which was very simple. Then I called New Jersey and Connecticut and Pennsylvania. And all those places said that, no, you need to go and see a pediatrician. And I don't think it's a very complicated procedure to prevent. They said they could have treated my daughter for flu, but they couldn't prevent her by giving her a simple vaccine. So I just wanted to find out the actual accurate information.
So Crystal Run, was this a pharmacy that you went to get the vaccine?
It's like one of those, it's a part of my health care provider. You can go there and be treated for all different
urgent care. I mean a licensed physician can administer a vaccine to anyone in any setting. What recently has happened in New York, we've had pharmacists in pharmacies can administer vaccinations to adults, and in part because of the bad flu season we're having and wanting to be sure that we're taking advantage of every opportunity to vaccinate, the governor issued an order that allowed pharmacists to vaccinate kids down to age 6 months during this flu emergency that we're having. But in any setting, a physician can administer a vaccine. Now, it may be that they were not used to taking care of kids. They were uncomfortable, but there's no legal prohibition to them doing that.
Jamie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay. Yeah.
1-800-348-2551, one free phone. You're listening to our special guest, Dr. Gus Burkhead, who's the director of the Office of Public Health of the New York State Health Department. Let's go to Dee in Saugerties. Okay, Dee, you're on.
Hi,
Hey, Dee.
Hi. I've been listening to the show, and I heard a gentleman before made a comment about the ingredients that are preservatives in the flu shot, and I happen to know that the preservative isn't only in the flu shot; it's in a lot of other vaccines that are given to very young children and the elderly. And the University of Calgary has done an extensive amount of research of the effects of mercury on the nervous system and the brain. And this is something called thimerosal, and it's a preservative that is in a lot of these shots that are given. And if you have a young child or
okay, Dee, I'm going to take the opportunity because we're running out of time before we have to go to a break, to ask the doctor, what about these
right.
questions?
Right. So there is a preservative that is contained in multi-dose vials of vaccine. At this point, it's only called thimerosal. It's a mercury-based preservative. At this point, flu vaccine multi-dose vials are the only setting in which that preservative is used. It was removed from all other vaccines because of this concern about the potential for effects from the mercury, which is present in very, very small amounts and not in a form that we see mercury, for example, in tuna fish or other. Mm-hmm. This is a form of mercury more readily eliminated from the body. The flu vaccine multi-dose vial is the only setting in which that is still used, and it's to prevent bacteria from growing. If you stick the needle in multiple times to inject multiple people and then stick it back in the fridge for a week, you don't want to have a problem. So that's why the preservative is there. But it has been looked at, again, pretty thoroughly. There's no evidence that it's causing adverse health effects in the levels and in the formulation that's being used. And it's serving a useful purpose. For most kids now most flu vaccines are available in a single dose or a prefilled syringe that does not contain the preservative. If people are concerned about it, they can request that form. But it's not really a health problem.
Interesting. Dee, thanks for the call. Important. Appreciate it. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. We will be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Albany Academy and Albany Academy for Girls. Single-gender education for boys and girls for 200 years with co-educational opportunities in the upper school, albanyacademies.org. Unison Arts Center, New Paltz, presenting the Mohonk Mountain Stage Readers Theater in the Language Archive, Friday and Saturday, January 18th and 19th at 8, unisonarts.org. And Transcendental West Hurley in Manhattan, cosmetic dentistry including one-visit ceramic crowns and overnight porcelain veneers with Dr. Bruce J. Milner, transcendental.net.
And we are back, and a big thank you to everybody who's helping here because the phones are ringing like crazy. Let's go to Carl from Esopus. Carl, you're on.
Hello?
Hi, Carl, you're on.
Hi. A couple of comments and then a question. My mother's old enough to remember the days before vaccines and before antibiotics, and her family lost a lot of people to the flu epidemic in 1918. So as a nurse, she was always very careful to get us every kind of vaccine available. And also, in 2009, I was not able to get a vaccine for the flu. My doctor's office had stopped carrying it and hadn't started having it in the supermarkets and pharmacies yet. So I came down with a swine flu, and it was a dreadful experience. We sometimes think that because modern medicine is so effective that we can get away with things, but I really wish I had made more of an effort to try and get a hold of the swine flu vaccine that year because it was not a fun experience. It was a week and a half of real agony, and since I'm an asthmatic, it was even worse. So, and my question is, when I was using contact lenses, I found that the cleaners and stuff that had thimerosal in them gave me some kind of reaction, so I tried to stay away from that, but the vaccine with the thimerosal in it, is it likely to cause an allergic reaction if I get it?
I guess that's possible, but there really aren't that many reports of allergic reactions, and you're never quite sure what component of the vaccine it is. If you get a reaction from your contact lens solution from thimerosal, then sure, it makes sense to request the thimerosal-free part of the vaccine. Let me just back to your original comment. I think the flu pandemic of 1918 is sort of the granddaddy of all public health disasters that we point back to regularly as an example. And in that pandemic, millions of people died in the United States to the point where the system had trouble dealing with even burying the dead. It's a seminal event in public health and in our preparedness efforts in the state. And that's why in 2009, when the H1N1 pandemic appeared, I think we got very concerned. I think we dodged a bullet a little bit. It wasn't as bad. But the remarkable thing is, in that span of a short 90 years or so, we developed the capacity to develop a vaccine, which we did within a few months, had a response of the medical and public health systems to it. Again, we dodged a bullet, but I think we're even better prepared for next time. These changes in flu virus happen. There's actually a mixing of flu viruses from people to pigs and ducks and other animals, and that's where the swine flu, portions it may have come from. But flu, in the long run, pandemics will happen again, and if it's like the 1918, it'll be a dramatic event that you don't forget.
Right. Well, I think Carl adds a great deal to what we're talking about here, because most people don't remember the virus of 1918, and they don't know people who do. But, this is an incredible improvement over what we used to face.
Right.
One thing about also the fear of autism, there was an article in The Lancet years ago that started off all of this fear. And the doctor who published that eventually admitted a couple of years ago that all his data were fake. And he hadn't come up with a really good explanation why he tried to pull this hoax, but The Lancet apologized and issued a retraction. And, as they're discovering, connection doesn't really exist.
Referring specifically to a publication in The Lancet that purported to show that measles vaccine was related to autism. And yes, that research was retracted, and the individual was sanctioned for that. Yes.
I should hope so.
So it's worth pointing that out when people say, oh, my kid might get autism.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey,
so
we're just so lucky that we can worry more about the side effects than about the actual disease.
Thanks a lot for all your insight here. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Susan in Troy. Susan.
Hi. I don't get the flu shot because I was injured by a flu shot and developed a permanent disability as a result of it. So I'm wondering, when I feel I'm getting a virus, right away I try to take care of it, and sometimes it goes away very quickly. And I'm just wondering, do I develop enough antibodies to avoid getting that same virus again?
Well, I think, again, the flu virus changes continually. We have three strains circulating now, and next year it'll be three potentially different strains. So immunity that you may have gotten from one shot in the past is not going to protect you in the future. So I think if you're not getting flu shots, you are at risk, for getting the flu more so than if you had not taken it.
Susan, thanks.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes, but I mean, my doctor believes I should not get a flu shot.
And that's fine. I think you should follow your doctor's advice. There are other steps you can take to prevent flu if you are in a situation like this or if you have a chronic illness. There are antiviral medications. Tamiflu is probably the most well-known of them, which if taken early or even in some cases taken prophylactically can lessen the severity of flu. So I would suggest you talk to your doctor about getting a prescription for one of the antiviral agents. And then when you're starting to feel ill, you can take that and take the full course. Don't stop if you're feeling better. But that's another alternative that specific individuals may want to take advantage of.
Hey, Susan, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Edward in Lake Katrine. Edward, you're on.
Hi. A few callers ago mentioned the flu outbreak of 1918, and I had uncles that I never saw because they died before I was born from that. But what I'm calling about, I'm a pastor of a church, and we have communion with Common Cup. And when I hear that there's flu around, we go to individual classes.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. I think it's, flu virus is spread through the oral and nasal secretions, And so it's you know, conceivable that you could be spread by contact with something that's been in contact with someone else. So I think
what I always heard, though, in reports was that alcohol killed bugs.
Well, I think that's true. Alcohol can, and I don't know the data on flu viruses, but I'm sure they are sensitive to it as well. But I think what you're doing is a reasonable step, even not in the flu season, if people are worried about contagious diseases.
Yeah,
Edward, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, 1-800-348-2551. Who said before that you should that the flu can mix between animals and human beings?
Yeah,
the pigs.
So, right. So influenza is a very interesting virus. It's not just exclusively found in people, but found in other animals, in ducks and pigs particularly. And I think there's good information that viruses move back and forth between those species and can intermix. And so the H1N1 virus in 2009 appeared to be a mixture of, you know, several different swine or pig origin and human virus parts. So the influenza virus has you know, six different parts to its genome, and once, if a cell gets infected with two different viruses, they can sort of intermix, and you come up with a brand new virus that didn't exist before, and that's where we think it's coming from. So in parts of the world, for example, in the Far East, where people live in close proximity to animals, or even in this country where farmers are in close contact. And indeed, the H1N1 flu did affect animals in 2009 as well. So its flu virus moves across species. It probably originally, you know, was a virus in birds or other species that has been able to affect us as well.
Let's go to Tyler in Albany. All right, Tyler, you're on.
Yeah, hello, doctor. I have a question about Enbrel. I currently take Enbrel. I have been taking it for many years for psoriasis and arthritis. I'm a little concerned what the effects might be if I were to take a flu vaccine, if that would, you know, since Enbrel affects my immune system. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, first of all, you should always talk back with your doctor about your own particular case. But in general, if this is suppressing your immune system, it's all the more reason you should be getting a flu shot to protect yourself from getting the actual flu, which could be bad. So I think even more so, you know, the recommendation would be for you to get it. But always, I don't diagnose people over the phone. Please talk to your doctor and be sure there's no unusual circumstance with you. But by all means.
Thanks,
okay, thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. We're back to Chili Peppers with Lily from Albany. Okay,
hi.
Lily, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I was bothered about the doctor not knowing about the benefits of chia, and I wanted to make sure that I got a call in to let you know that out in UCLA, University of California, they did a research that lasted, you know, way over 15, 20 years. And what they found was that chias have twice as much vitamin C as oranges. They're an excellent source of vitamin A. One teaspoon dried chili meets the daily requirement. It increases the metabolic rate.
Yeah. But Lily, not to be fresh about this, but how do you know that it's doing anything with the flu?
Well, no. Somebody had called. Well, it's going to just help you.
Well, there's been a lot of research. I don't want to take the doctor's time up here, but with me. But there's been a lot of research, including Linus Pauling and so many others, on vitamin C.
Right.
And I don't know that we've ever come up with that it either cures the common cold or the flu.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if it works for you, great. Don't use it in an exclusion to getting your flu shot. And the day when somebody, you know, puts some evidence up of a trial that looks at it, you know, we have an open mind, and, you know, we'll go with anything that works.
Well, I think if you keep your body in, you know, in good shape, even if it's under attack with a flu strain, then your body's going to be able to fight back. So
okay.
Any of these things would be helpful.
Lily, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Andrew in Albany. Andrew, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Good afternoon. Hello, doctor.
Hi.
My wife's 8-year survivor of pancreatic cancer, and it changed her life for diet. And she became vegan, and shortly after being vegan, she started reading all these books, and one was a book called Skinny Bitch, and it just went into all these things about don't take vaccinations. And so for a good 7 years, she hasn't. Had the flu bug already this year. And what can I do to convince her that she needs these flu shots? Because I have continued to take the flu shot every year.
Right. Well, the one is if she's in any way still weakened from her cancer diagnosis in terms of her immune system or otherwise, she may be at greater risk for getting the flu. Secondly, she's had the flu, but there are multiple strains circulating, so the vaccine will protect against, it's a 3-in-1 right now, 3-in-1 shot to protect you against 3 different strains. And, you know, flu, she had the flu. It probably wasn't pleasant. I don't think she wants to go through that experience again. It's up to her,
is there any truth to this being cultured in eggs? And this is what she throws back at me.
Yes.
I'm not putting eggs in my body, and I'm not going to have this.
Okay.
So I just want to know, is there a website she can go to that might convince her to
full disclosure that, yes, the flu vaccine is grown on eggs, so there are maybe some egg protein there. In fact, if people have severe allergy to egg protein, we take special precautions, but... I can't overcome the argument. If someone says I will not put any animal product in my body, then there's not an answer to that. But my answer is flu itself can present a danger, particularly to someone who's a cancer survivor. And just having the flu once is not going to protect you going forward.
Okay, Andrew, I'm so sorry. We only have 3 minutes to end, and we've got 5 people up there. I want to give everybody a chance. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to Rick in Rosendale. Hiya, Rick. Got to make it fast.
Okay. I have 3 points I'd like to make, so let's see if I can get to them. First of all, I'm a chronic Lyme sufferer, and as a result, I've discovered a number of different herbs that help my health in general. The one that comes from India, its scientific name is Andrographis, and it's usually referred to as that. Andrographis paniculata.
Okay, hey, Rick, I'm so sorry. We don't have time for 3. We've got 5 people on the line. I want to give everybody a chance. So you're saying a product that comes from India that is named, go ahead, once again.
Well, it was credited with helping to save many lives.
Yeah, but what's the name? What's the name?
Andrographis, like Andro is in man, and Graphis is in the writing tool.
Okay, Rick, we're going to have to leave it at that for today. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to David in Albany. David, you're on.
Suppose you think you're coming down with the flu. Does it make more sense to go to the doctor and get tested or to stay home and just let it pass and avoid infecting all the people?
Good question. I don't think you have to go to the doctor. In fact, we advise people to call. We don't want you sitting in the waiting room infecting others. If you know you need to go to the doctor because you're having bad symptoms or you think you're having a health emergency, by all means deal with that. But in general, I think flu can be cared for at home with flu.
Is it important to know whether it's really the flu?
Not necessarily. If you have a chronic illness and you might take advantage of, for example, one of the antiviral medications we talked about, you would want to be in close touch with your doctor. Those have to be administered within a day or two of your beginning to feel symptoms. But otherwise, for the normal population, it's not critical that you know specifically that it's flu, no.
Okay, David, thank you for the call. Let's go to Dave in Williamstown, who wants to know about getting on an airplane, and he wants advice on how to stay healthy. Go ahead.
Right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am going to get on an airplane. I've had my flu shots, and what kind of preventative measures might I take, like a face mask or Tamiflu or something like that, to help keep me from getting flu from other people?
I think you've already taken the most important step, which is to get the flu shot. We don't
Although, Doc, there have been studies of these trays that get put down in front of you from the seat in front of you, and they've done some looking at what's on those, and it's pretty scary.
So the number 2 step to prevent flu is to wash your hands, particularly before you eat or when you're out in public. So those are the 2 most important things you can do right there.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
And masks aren't so bad. You know, Chinese wear them a lot. Okay, let's go to Bill in Schenectady. Bill in Schenectady, real quick.
Yes, Alan.
The issue is I'm covered by a very large insurance company and very good for most respects.
Okay,
I'm going to cover the flu.
Yeah, and cut you short. Well, how come they don't cover the flu? Do you know?
Correct.
I think many do, but it's, you know, health insurance is a whole other topic, and what's covered and not covered is often what's negotiated in the plan by the employer or whoever else is dealing with it.
Okay.
I think we do try to make available the evidence that flu shots will ultimately save money through reduced health care needs and hospitalizations, but
sure.
it's a decision made at the plan or employer level.
Okay, I'm so sorry, Bill. We're out of time, and I'm so sorry to Jim from Albany who wanted to know something else, but you got to get those calls in early. We're just about out of time. Thanks, everybody, for calling. Let's see. Springfield Museum's presenting Guitar, the Instrument That Rocked the World, opening January 18th, featuring interactive displays and over 60 instruments. SpringfieldMuseums.org. East Heaven. Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com for reservations. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has not been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Patrick Donjus. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.